From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In the weeks after Israeli troops shot thousands of Gaza residents and killed 112 at the Gaza border during the Al-Nakba protests, some attempted to leave the besieged land by boat. Several injured Palestinians needing medical treatment, as well as university students and cancer patients, boarded a number of boats and attempted to break the Israeli-imposed and internationally condemned siege of Gaza. Israeli forces intercepted at least one of the boats, citing what they called a, quote, legal naval blockade. The boat was towed to the Israeli Navy base in Ashdod. And it was about 8 years ago that Israeli forces attacked a flotilla of boats that attempted to break the Gaza siege from the outside in. One boat in that flotilla, called the Mavi Marmara, was boarded by Israeli commandos who shot and killed 9 people on board, some of them execution style. The International Criminal Court condemned Israel's actions as war crimes, but there has been no accountability so far. My guest is Anne Wright. She's a retired army colonel and diplomat who resigned from her State Department position in protest of the Iraq war. She's a leading anti-war activist. She's involved in the Freedom Flotilla Coalition and has participated in Gaza flotillas. And she now joins me on the phone. Welcome to the program, Anne.
Thank you, Sonali.
So first, before we get to the anniversary of what happened on the Mavi Marmara, what do you make of what has just happened now? It's gotten very little attention that Gazans are basically trapped in Gaza, whether they need medical attention, whether they need to leave to go to university or athletic sporting events or get urgent medical care. They are trapped unless Israel decides to let them leave. And so they tried to leave on this boat, and at least one boat was intercepted. We're not hearing much news coverage of this, Anne.
No, indeed. In fact, in the United States, there typically is very little coverage of events in Gaza. And that's one of the great traumas that we have, that we can't get news out. And that's why we have the flotillas, to try to bring attention, international attention, to the plight of Palestinians in Gaza, who have been living under a siege, a blockade for 11 years, and actually for 40 years, really, when you really look at it. The seaport of Gaza City has not had international boats in it, other than two boats that somehow made it in 2008. But the seaport is closed by the Israelis, by their blockade of Gaza. So that's why we sail these boats. And in fact, we have four boats underway right now to break the Israeli blockade of Gaza.
So there have basically been two directions in which people have tried to break the siege. International solidarity activists like yourself, with journalists on board, have attempted to come into Gaza by sea, and people in Gaza with doctors and other activists have attempted to leave Gaza by sea, and Israel has stopped them both times. We now are hearing that Israel is trying to build some sort of impenetrable underwater border to keep Gazans trapped by sea. Have you heard about that?
Well, I have. And first, going back to the boats that the people of Gaza are sailing out of Gaza, it's a real noble effort to try to break that blockade from the inside out, so to speak. They know the Israelis are always watching those borders, anything coming out of Gaza, but to bring international attention to the fact that so many people have been killed in Gaza over the last 6 weeks, and so many have been wounded. Totally overwhelming, the medical facilities that they have in Gaza. I mean, even before the Great Return March started in late April, the medical facilities were very poorly equipped with medicines and with medical equipment, to the extent that the mayor of Gaza City had declared an emergency for Gaza City because of the lack of medical equipment, for the lack of potable water, for the lack of electricity. The whole system is collapsing purposefully because the Israelis are, they mean to attempt to get everyone to finally leave Gaza so they can take the land over. And so they're doing everything possible to make life unbearable. And the World Health Organization has said by the year 2020, just a mere two years from now, or a year and a half, that Gaza will become uninhabitable because of the lack of water, the lack of sanitation, the lack of medical facilities.
So the peaceful protest that Gaza residents were engaged in at the border starting in April, leading up to the Al-Nakba Day, the March of the Great Return, as they were calling it, that march had been attacked, and those protesters were attacked by Israeli snipers. I understand that something on the order of about 1,000 people were injured, a little over 100 killed. That's a huge number of people injured. On a good day, Gaza hospitals, as I understand it, are not able to handle just the sort of routine medical care that's required. But I imagine that these hospitals were completely overloaded in the past month or so. I'm assuming people might be dying simply from not getting immediate medical care.
Well, I would think that's probably true, that indeed there, even before this started, there weren't appropriate amounts of medicines just for the normal things that are arising in a community of 2 million people. But then when you think about the slaughter that the Israelis have been doing, the purposeful execution, I mean, the Israeli military and government has said, we know exactly who we are killing. They are executing, they're assassinating people. And then others they're wounding by shooting specifically at legs and knees. And the numbers of amputations that have had to been made that will, you know, cripple a person for the rest of their life. The lack of prosthetics for caring for these people who have had to have arms and legs amputated. I mean, it is a massive medical emergency that's going on in Gaza right now. And, of course, the U.S. government, and particularly Nikki Haley, just at the United Nations yesterday, vetoed an indictment of what the Israelis have been doing to the Palestinians. So the U.S. government totally supports what Israel is doing, as it has been under all these administrations.
So the Gaza Freedom Boat, as it was being called, set sail in late May, attempting to carry only 17 people. These are very small boats. They're not big ships. 17 people, including university students, cancer patients, and protesters wounded by Israeli forces during the Great Return March, and they were intercepted. Now, is Israel essentially saying, sorry, you can't go anywhere? Because it's not as though these folks can say, I have a visa for this country to go get medical attention, and I'm simply going to leave, right? Israel may or may not allow them to leave any other way. So essentially, Israel is saying, we're trapping you. You're in prison.
Indeed. And Gaza has been noted for decades as being called an open-air prison where people cannot leave or return. There are tens of thousands of residents of Gaza who cannot get back into Gaza now. And of course, those that have medical conditions that need treatment. There were something like 50 cancer patients last year that died because they were unable to get out of Gaza to get cancer treatment. You think of all the students that have studied so hard under such arduous conditions of attacks about every 4 years and lack of electricity, and still the students keep studying and studying, and they qualify to get scholarships outside of Gaza, and then the Israelis won't let them leave to get those scholarships. It's really such a heartbreaking situation, a horrible, dangerous situation, that one can only there's a good reason why tens of thousands of people of Gaza have gone to the fences that are the border with Israel to tell the Israelis, you've got to stop doing this to us.
It's easy to lose count of Israel's crimes over the years, but we're at the 8th anniversary of the massacre on board the Mavi Marmara, which was one boat in a Gaza Freedom Flotilla that attempted to break the siege of Gaza from the outside in. Can you remind our audience what happened on the Mavi Marmara and whether Israel has been held at all accountable for its actions?
Indeed, I was on that flotilla. I was not on the Marvi Marmar. I was on the little boat next to it, the Challenger 1, from which the photos that you see now of the Israeli commandos attacking that ship, those photos were taken from our little boat. All six boats were attacked. It was on the Marvi Marmar, as you identified, that nine people were executed, including a 17-year-old U.S. Turkish citizen, Furkan Doğan. Another person has subsequently died, so actually there have been 10 people that have died from the wounds from Israeli snipers and soldiers. We have had several court cases that we brought, one in Turkish court against the generals that planned the attack on the flotilla, and another one that we just had in the United States that four of us that were on the Challenger 1 brought it was a civil case. The U.S. State Department came in on an amicus petition with the State of Israel. They sided with the State of Israel instead of with the U.S. citizens that have been harmed by the State of Israel. So we continue to bring these cases in court. We haven't won any of them, but it doesn't mean that we won't keep using the court system to bring attention to what the Israelis are doing.
Now, Anne, you mentioned that there are boats that are making their way to Gaza to try to repeat what essentially gets done every year or every couple of years with these freedom flotillas. We were just talking earlier about Gazans attempting to leave from the inside out. But what's the status currently of boats that are trying to, filled with solidarity activists, international activists like yourself? What are people trying to do to get into Gaza right now? What's the status of those boats?
Well, this year for 2018, we have a flotilla of four boats. Two of them, and each one of those boats is going on a 75-day voyage from starting in Scandinavia and then coming down into Europe, into Central Europe. Two boats will go around the Atlantic coast of Europe, stopping in French ports, Portuguese ports, Spanish ports before going into the Mediterranean. And then two smaller boats, small draft boats, shallow draft boats, will be going down the rivers and waterways of Central Europe, starting in Rotterdam and then heading to the south, going through France and then on into the Mediterranean. And then they will meet up in mid-July and then head on as a four-boat flotilla to challenge the blockade of Gaza and attempt to get into Gaza.
So how can people on the outside support these efforts? And how do you explain why these efforts are important? Because they seem to be, you know, sort of symbolic efforts to highlight what Gaza is going through.
Indeed, they are symbolic. There's no way in the world that we can bring the amount of medical aid or the amount of other types of physical things to the people of Gaza because the needs are so great. But the symbolism is that the international community has not forgotten them, that we give them hope that they are not forgotten. And in fact, in Gaza, before we start any of these flotillas, we always ask colleagues in Gaza, non-governmental agencies that we work with, would you rather us fundraise for and send you the money, or would you rather us continue to try to have these boats try to break the blockade? And every time our colleagues in Gaza have come back to say, these boats give us hope that we're not forgotten. These boats help the young kids know that they are not alone. And in fact, school teachers in Gaza use the fact that boats are sailing again as projects for kids in school. And on the days that they anticipate that we might be able to get into Gaza, there will be tens of thousands of people that will go down to the docks and on the beaches of Gaza and looking out to sea. Knowing that, as it was 2 years ago in 2016 with a women's boat to Gaza, that 34 miles from where they were, there were 13 women in a boat called Zaytuna, the Olive, that were attempting to break that blockade. And indeed, they will be back on the beaches and at the docks in July as those four boats approach Gaza. So it's to give them hope that the people of the world are not forgetting them.
And has there been any success with boats over the years breaking through the Israeli siege of Gaza? And if so, does that essentially mean that, was there a reason why those boats might have been able to break the siege? Any special thing that people can do to get these boats through?
Well, in 2008, the Free Gaza Movement, the organization that first started this idea of trying to sail boats into Gaza, they apparently surprised the Israelis. And two small boats that sailed out of Cyprus were able to get into Gaza and then were able to come out of Gaza filled with people from Gaza, both people needing medical help and students. And in fact, they made two runs of it. So actually, four boats in July, and then in August of 2008, were able to get in. But after that, and as the Israelis started attacking Gaza in December of 2008, and then 2009, in what was called the Cast Lead Operation, where over 1,400 Palestinians were killed by Israel during their attack on Gaza. After that, no boats have been able to get into Gaza. They've all been stopped in international waters, anywhere from 34 miles to 70 miles offshore. The people on the boats have been arrested. They've been taken, kidnapped, taken against their will to a place they did not want to go, which was Israel, and then deported from Israel after being in prison for several days. And then the boats, stolen, taken to Israel. And we have sued the Israeli government for the return of those boats because it is piracy. I mean, they're stealing boats, taking other people's property and refusing to give it back. But so far, we have not gotten boats back.
And where can people find out more information about these efforts and support them? I imagine it takes a lot of money to put these projects together.
Indeed, it does. And we continue to have great support throughout the world of people giving donations, mostly $20, $30. We don't really have any big donors, but lots of people are willing to give small donations. And you can go on the Gaza Freedom or Freedom Flotilla Coalition .org or Facebook 2018 Gaza Boats to Gaza. There are several websites that we have, and we have 13 nations, national campaigns that are a part of this year. So each campaign in their home country is doing fundraising for their contribution to these four boats.
Freedomflotilla.org is one of the websites. We'll post a link to that from our website. Thank you so much, Anne, for joining us today, and good luck to you.
Oh, thank you so much for your interest in free Palestine.
Anne Wright is my guest. She's a retired Army colonel and diplomat who resigned her State Department position in protest of the Iraq War. She's a leading anti-war activist involved in the Freedom Flotilla Coalition and many other issues and groups. She's participated in the Gaza Flotillas. She was part of the 2010 flotilla where one of the boats, Mavi Marmara, was attacked just about 8 years ago. We've been discussing how injured Gazans attempting to break the Israeli siege right now are being blocked. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.